We're a few days into the period of all-day group practice. With these hours of formal meditation each day, then there's a natural settling, quietening, even with the energies of spring bursting around us and the prospect of routines of activity happening in a couple of weeks' time, still many hours of sitting, being silent, walking meditation, reflecting on Dhamma. There's a natural effect of settling, stilling, calming in the system. And when that quality of calm and focus, stilling of attention is established, then there can be a broadening of attention, conscious opening of attention, of the field of awareness, to be more inclusive. And Paul Sumedho would very helpfully refer to the practices of concentration, focusing, as developing the point which excludes, bringing the attention just to the rhythm of the breathing, the feeling of the footsteps, listening to the inner sound, focusing upon a single sensory object and deliberately excluding others. When the attention is settled, attuned to the present field of experience, then there can be a broadening, an opening. We pay attention to a single object like the breath or the nada sound, our footsteps, in order to key the attention into the present reality. If we're already here, then there's no need to set that direction. There's no need to make that emphasis. If you're already at Amaravati, you don't have to figure out how to get here. You're here already. You don't have to make the effort to travel here. You've arrived already. So when the heart is attuned to the present field of experience, it's arrived at the Pachupanna Dhamma, the Akaliko Dhamma, the timeless here and now reality. So with that, there can be an opening, consciously including the rest of the field of experience. The sounds we hear around us, memories, thoughts, different waves of emotion, excitement, irritation, fear, confusion, sleepiness, agitation. When the attention is well grounded in the present, then there can be a receiving of these different perceptions, emotions, memories, ideas. They arise in the space of awareness, they do their thing, then they dissolve. Just like in the Sutta of the Wonderful and Marvelous, the Tathagata knows feelings as they arise, as they persist, as they fade away. Knows mental formations as they arise, as they persist, as they fade away. Knows perceptions, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. The sensed knows those perceptions as they arise, as they persist, as they fade away. This is a training of the heart to embody the quality of awakened awareness, the vijja dhatu, the element of knowing. This is a way of establishing the heart in a quality of ease and freedom, so that whether what's experienced is pleasant or painful, expected or unexpected, personal, abstract, whatever it might be, internal, external, coarse or fine, wholesome or unwholesome. The heart knows it for what it is, just formations arising and passing, that's all. It doesn't push them away, doesn't buy into them, doesn't identify with them. It embodies this quality of knowing, receiving the flow of experience, knowing it, letting it all go. Just like our lungs breathe in the air, take in the oxygen, absorb it into the blood, breathe out the carbon dioxide. Breathe in the quality of each moment, know it, let it go. And just like the oxygen is the life-giving source for the body, this quality of awakened awareness, this is the life source for our heart, for the citta. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to death. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead already. So heedfulness, appamada, awakened awareness, this is the life source. Being truly awake, truly alive. In order to facilitate, support that disentangling, that non-identification, that non-grasping, then we consciously can use different reflections to support that disentangling, that non-grasping, letting go, relinquishing, releasing. Classically, these are named as anicca, dukkha, anatta, these three qualities of all existent things, all phenomena, all experiences. Anicca, transient, uncertain. Dukkha, unsatisfactory. Anatta, not self. These are the primary, these core reflections, primary reflections to counteract the deeply entrenched habits of mind. Why do we reflect on anicca? On change, on uncertainty? Because we keep thinking that the five khandhas won't change. We keep taking them to be certain. As Lumpo Cha would say, if you seek for certainty in that which is uncertain, you're bound to suffer. We seek for satisfaction, completeness, fulfillment in that which can't fulfill, that which can't satisfy. Trying to find sukha, permanent, substantial happiness in the five khandhas. Atta, similarly, the way that this mind seems to be ours, this body is mine, it's me, this face, this name, this story. This is what I am. Very convincing. So we bring the reflections on anicca, dukkha, anatta into full awareness to counteract the habits of looking for nicca, sukha and atta. Certainty, fulfillment, selfhood in that which is uncertain, unfulfilling and not self. We bring those reflections to mind to counteract the delusions that persist in our minds, in our hearts. As been highlighted in the various readings, the Dhamma readings in the evening, we also have other characteristics of all existent things. Ajahn Buddhadasa helpfully highlighted these nine eyes, the nine tas, So along with anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, not selfness, there's a number of other reflections that can be used. We're talking about sunyata and tatata yesterday, emptiness and suchness. These are also ways of reflecting on the flow of experience, the sensations of the body, the thoughts in the mind, our memories, our plans, our emotions, our judgments, our excitements, our fears, to see them as empty. Sunya, hollow, void, insubstantial, like a bubble, like a mirage, like a conjuring trick. There's a form, but no substance. There's an appearance, but nothing solid. It's like a shaft of sunlight coming through the window. There's a shape, a form, but you can walk straight through it with no resistance, no pressure, no weight. There's a form, but no substance. So too, with our memories, our ideas, our opinions, the feelings of pleasure and pain in the body, our personal story, our name, our age, our nationality, our family, our education, our successes, our failures, our problems, our opinions, there's a form, but no substance. So the reflections on sunya, sunyata, emptiness, these are empty, is opening the heart to that actuality. There's a shape, like a sound is formed and it makes a word, like word. It's a sound, there's a form, but there's no thing absolutely, permanently, completely there. There's a shape, but no substance. So to reflect upon sunyata is to acknowledge that. Oh, there's no thing absolutely actually there. Oh. And then notice what happens to in the heart, what happens to the quality of experience when that empty, void nature is appreciated. Oh. There's spaciousness, simplicity, easefulness. And reflecting upon suchness, tatata, this is the way it is, it's like this, without defining what this is in some kind of idea or form or sensation, just that simple quality, that presence of thisness. Tathagata, the one who is such, the one come to suchness, gone to suchness. I like to reflect upon this as a way of saying yes to the unborn, unconditioned, uncreated. Here it is. Even though to say here and it is stretching things, even to say things is also stretching it. Dhamma is not a thing in the universe of other things. It's the quality that underlies the fabric and structure, the lawful activity, presence of all things. Unimaginable, inexpressible. As Lumbur Sumedho has been saying, Dhamma has no language. It's not a thing in the world of other things, but its presence is the what underlies all things. As John Cage put it, the nothing which supports everything. So to recognize suchness, to reflect upon tatata, as an opening of the heart to this ephemeral, intangible, ever-present, fundamental quality, isness. And then the last of these final three das, the final three eyes that Ajahn Buddhadasa highlighted, atamayata, not made of that, is its technical meaning. Not made of that. Because even when there's a reflection upon emptiness, there can be a subtle way of looking at that which is empty, that field of experience. And even with suchness, that is such. That experience is such. The world as it's known is such, is thus. Tamayata is letting go of even thatness and thisness, letting go of subject and object. There's awake, aware knowing, but it's subjectless, objectless, Dhamma aware of its own nature, the heart aware of its own nature. Oh, this which knows the personal, the field of experience, is not a person. We use words to talk about or point in a direction of realization, to facilitate the direct realization, but the words are not the quality. The word Dhamma is not the Dhamma, it's just a word, it's just a noise. But the word can evoke a direct realization of the actuality, the reality. That's what the words are for. They are conventional forms, convenient fictions that support the heart awakening to its own nature, which is Dhamma itself. The heart, the citta, is Dhamma. It's not a person. It doesn't belong to a person. It's not a that over there. Dhamma is not something other, something elsewhere. It's this, this very heart, this which is knowing this moment. The very fabric of this nature, this presence which is the fabric of all of our lives. Here it is. How could the Dhamma, how could that reality be somewhere else? Like a wave discovering it's always been part of the sea. Oh, I didn't have to discover the sea, I am the sea. Didn't have to realize the Dhamma, I am the Dhamma. So this turns it around in the framework of Dhamma practice, practicing the Dhamma, realizing the Dhamma. It's not me realizing the Dhamma. It's Dhamma realizing all those different me's that arise and pass away. The Dhamma awakening, knowing its own nature. Peaceful, timeless, limitless, incapable of suffering. Unborn, undying. Nothing to get, nothing to get rid of. Self-sustaining, ever-present.